Please turn with me to John chapter 3, and we read together from verse 1 up to verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. And this is a very familiar story to us. It is a story that we see a man called Nicodemus approaching the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God's word is saying to us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. During the month of June, which is our month of evangelism, we have a theme that we are following, and the theme is the new birth. This morning, I intend to speak to you concerning this subject from verses 3 to 8 of the passage that we read, the new birth. Beloved friends, we see that from chapter 2 and verse 12 to chapter 4 and verse 54 of John, there is a series of something new. There is a mention of the new temple. There is a mention of the new birth, which we are considering this morning. There is also a mention in chapter 4 of the new worship. So new temple, new birth, new worship. And this gives us an idea that there is something that people held on to at that particular time. They were accustomed to a certain number of things regarding religion. And when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, He taught them about the kingdom of God. In other words, He spoke words that were worthy or trustworthy, worthy of considering. And as we look at the new birth this morning, indeed it falls into this category of the new things that the Lord is talking about. What is the story before us? Because we are going to use it as we consider the subject of the new birth. The story here is that the Lord Jesus Christ, in these chapters 1, 2, we see Him active, especially in chapter 2, that He cleanses the temple, and we know that He was also preaching, and we know that He did the signs and wonders. And as the Lord has been doing these things, there are so many people who have been observing, and Nicodemus was one of them. So Nicodemus, this Pharisee, having seen what the Lord was doing, he comes to him in chapter 3 and verse 1. It is not my duty this morning to discuss why he came at night and all the speculations that we have. It is good to explore these things and stretch our minds, but for purposes of understanding and underscoring the point of the new birth, I will go straight into the meat of the story, as it were. And so this man comes before the Lord and he tells him, he says in verse 1, or verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And as he is acknowledging what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing, as he finishes paying the compliments to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the Lord now speaking. And what is interesting as a matter of observing here is that he didn't ask any question. He was simply telling the Lord, "You are a man who has come from above." In other words, he was acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was special, he was peculiar, different from all the men that he probably had come across. And listen to the Lord in verse 3. It is interesting that he doesn't ask the question that the Lord answers. The Lord says, and Jesus said, reading the Bible, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Without him asking about the new birth, the Lord Jesus Christ brings it out. Beloved friends, we see that from this time, from this point onwards, the gear is high. It is now in full gear. The Lord is now explaining that Nicodemus needs to be born again. He is explaining to him that he needs to have his heart changed. And so the conversation goes on. How can one be born again? He was astonished. He didn't understand it. But the Lord explained to him that the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit, flesh to the flesh. He says it is like the wind. You cannot touch the wind. You cannot see the wind. But you can see that there is something moving and the wind is action. So it is with a person who is saved. So it is with salvation. You cannot catch it with your hands. You cannot see it in the air. You cannot see the Lord pursuing in a physical sense someone, and the person is resisting and they're actually running away. This will not be seen by your eyes. But what we know is that it truly exists. And this is what he's telling Nicodemus. Although you cannot see the wind, it exists. Although you cannot see this spiritual thing that I'm talking about, it exists. You can be born of the Spirit. Before we answer four important questions about this passage and in connection to the new birth, I want us to notice something here which should not escape our minds, beloved friends. I notice that one, the Lord possesses supernatural knowledge. This supernatural knowledge that he possesses is what is actually causing him to bring out the subject of the new birth. He knew that Nicodemus was not a Christian because the Lord possessed a supernatural knowledge. And it is this supernatural knowledge that we must not ignore at the beginning of our service this morning. It is this knowledge that I'm proclaiming to you that He knows this morning, where you are seated, wherever you could be, that if you are not a Christian, the Lord really knows. And even before you start saying that you are not a Christian, before you start showering praises upon God, before you start showering praises upon God for what He has blessed you, remember, He has this knowledge and He knows exactly where your heart is. So it requires an introspection this morning as we begin to look at this new birth. Beloved friends, He knew exactly what His need was. In conversion, the soul is ushered into a new spiritual world. And He knows that indeed Nicodemus needs that. I must say, as we progress and doing it quickly, that we must understand as we are looking at this subject that the first birth introduces us into the natural world. So Nicodemus was introduced into this world, this natural world, by virtue of him being born into this world. But the second birth introduces us into the spiritual world. We must understand that the first birth ushers us into a world of sin. And this is where Nicodemus is. It is a world of sin. It is a world full of death. It is a world of imperfections. But the second birth indeed ushers us into a world of holiness, a world of happiness and life. And so the Lord, in this discourse, in this conversation, fully understands where this man is coming from. As we shall see later on, this is a man of prominence. He is not just a mere Pharisee, but he's also part of the Sanhedrin. He is a ruler, and if he was living in today's world, he was going to be a celebrity, as it were. But the Lord says, this you need. This morning, indeed, He knows what you are in need of. Let us hurry on then and answer, or first of all, ask and then answer these four questions. Question number one, we are talking about the new birth, but what is the new birth? What is the new birth? There are terms that we see here referring to the new birth. Jesus, in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again." There we see that one term that is used for the new birth is born again. The other term that we see here is that of being born of the water and the Spirit, as we read here. Verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit." Notice with me, Spirit there is capital S, meaning born of the Holy Spirit, which is also meaning born of God. Another term that could be used for the new birth is that of born from above. Born from above, or born of God. What we are talking about, beloved friends, for those who like theology, is this topic or doctrine of regeneration. I want to say that as we ask this important question, what is the meaning of the new birth? We must all pay attention to this, because it is at the beginning that we get it right. It is at the beginning that we get to understand what this important thing is. I call it important because the Lord brings it out Himself. It is not a doctrine of man. What is the meaning of the new birth? First of all, I'll say what it isn't. It is not just an adjustment or amendment or moral change or outward alteration of life. It is not just making an adjustment to your life to stop a few things. It is not just making an amendment to the things that you've probably been doing, the sins that you've been committing, and then you say, from today onwards, I have stopped. That is not new birth. It is a decision that you make, an attempt to make yourself better, but not really a new birth. It is not an outward alteration of life. It is not something that you do to make yourself look better in the eyes of people. It is not something that you do to ensure that people can accept you in society because you are a good person. It is not, in the second place, it is not yielding to a set of rules. That is not new birth. Here we see that the Jews had the rules in front of them. They were the custodians of the law, as it were. They studied the law of God, and studying it to the letter, indeed they sought to obey it and to practice all the things that were taught to them. But we are saying this morning, just merely yielding, and yielding here, we are not just talking about following. Yielding means giving yourself. Following religiously, making sure that you don't break any of them, making sure that you are there and following what is stipulated in the law. You have yielded, you have given yourself to the law. It doesn't mean that it is regeneration. There are many today who are like Nicodemus, who are adhering even to the rules of their church. They make sure that they wear the uniform. They make sure that they attend all the meetings, and they are saying we are attending to the means of grace, and therefore we are actually impressing our leaders, or I'm impressing people. They are yielding to something that has been given to them. Not to say that it is bad, but the yielding is what is constituting their safety and understanding of Christianity. It is not that. And this is what the Lord is telling Nicodemus. He knows Nicodemus knows the Word of God. He knows Nicodemus has been following the Word of God. He is aware of all these things. He knows that Nicodemus teaches people the things of God, but he says he needs to be born again. What then is the new birth? One definition I came across reads as follows. The new birth is then a sovereign act of God by His Spirit, in which the believer is cleansed from sin and given the spiritual birth into God's household. The new birth is then a sovereign act of God by His Spirit, in which the believer is cleansed from sin and given the spiritual birth into God's household. Here we are saying, it is when the believer's heart is renewed. It is when the intellect is renewed. It is when we come to our senses as a result of God's work in our hearts. This is the new birth. Perhaps we can have so many other phrases we can use to explain to us what the new birth is. In other words, what we see here is that there are so many ways in which we can explain this new birth. We see in John chapter 1, And verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, children of God. They become children of God. What we are talking about here is something that makes one a child of God. It is not the adhering to the rules. It is not the moral adjustment. But it is that work that God does to make us his children. We therefore can say this. That the new birth, or to be born again, it is this phrase that refers to a spiritual rebirth. Anything to do with rebirth, anything to do with being born again, has to be spiritual. Because even using our common sense, when you are a grown up, you cannot go back to your mother's womb. And that is why Nicodemus also had problems. He couldn't understand this new born again, this new birth, because he was thinking about the physical. But we see that it refers to a spiritual rebirth. So the new birth is a spiritual rebirth. It is a generation or a regeneration of the human heart. It is a regeneration of the human spirit. We see Ezekiel chapter 11. And verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. What is the new birth? The new birth is when there is a regeneration of our spirit. It is when there is a regeneration of our hearts. Here we see in Ezekiel the Lord saying that he will give them one heart. He will put a new spirit in them. In other words, regeneration is the recreating of this old man. It is the recreating of the fallen man, as it were. And we can say that the new birth is a thorough change of the heart, of the will, and of the character. This man called Nicodemus did not experience this thorough change of the heart and will and character. And this is why the Lord speaks to him about the rebirth. So, we can also say that it is the birth of a soul into grace. This is when your spiritual life begins. You cannot be a Christian without regeneration, without your heart being regenerated by the Lord. You cannot call yourself a Christian without the Lord changing your heart, without the Lord recreating you, as it were. Indeed, we must acknowledge this, that when you talk about the new birth, God in His own sovereign way, by His Spirit, He cleanses our hearts. That is the new birth. Cleansing our hearts. Nicodemus didn't understand this new birth. Nicodemus didn't understand this cleansing of the heart. It was foreign to him. Nicodemus didn't know that the Lord has to change your character, your will, and everything. Nicodemus didn't know about it. For Nicodemus, it was all a physical thing. Read, follow, avoid, as it were. But we see this man being challenged by God. It was strange to him. Therefore, he was a stranger to grace. Beloved friends, is this a strange thing to you this morning? Is this how you understand being a Christian, that you have to be cleansed by God? Or you understand it from the point of view that you need to join a good church, or that you need to be a good person who gives, who puts offering into the basket, who helps others, and therefore you're good? Nicodemus did not fully understand the meaning of the new birth. A man may be ignorant of so many things in religion, but yet be saved. I'll just repeat that. A man may be ignorant of so many things in religion and yet be saved, but not about the subject of the rebirth. Do you understand what it means? If you do, have you given your life to the Lord? If you don't understand, I put it to you this morning, you are far from the Lord. You cannot possess a new life that is strange to you. So Nicodemus was a stranger to the grace of God. That is the new birth as we see it here. As we have read here, that it is actually the work of God where He changes one's heart. But we move on to another question quickly. Who is in need of this new birth? Verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Oh, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Beloved friends, what we see here is that the Lord is talking to him and he says that he needs to be born again. Nicodemus is in need of this new birth. And what is interesting is the fact that as he speaks to him, even in verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." We notice something. Firstly, it is not just Nicodemus who needs this rebirth. In verse 7, the "you" here is actually plural. And if it is plural, it means it is not just him alone. But we indeed see that Nicodemus is the one who has been addressed in the first place, and therefore he is in need of this new birth. But not just him, together with his fellow Pharisees. That is why it is plural. These people who need this new birth, we must consider the following about them. The Pharisees were religiously privileged, but lost. In other words, these were people who were the custodians of God's word. These are the people who knew a lot about His word. But they were lost. They are in need of this new birth. Another thing that we see about these people, the Pharisees who are in need of this new birth, is that they were religiously acquainted. Not just privileged, being there exposed to and having it, but they were acquainted, religiously acquainted as it were. They knew these things, they followed them as it were, but they were lost. Therefore, they needed this rebirth. They were religious teachers, but still they needed this new birth. They were experts in the Jewish law, for we know that he is a scribe. In verse 10, Jesus even calls him, "Are you Israel's teacher, but you don't know these things?" They are well acquainted. They are experts in the word, but they are unsaved. They are lost. Therefore, the people who need this particular rebirth could be those who know the verses. They learn from Sunday school. They read the word. They know these things, but their hearts are still uncircumcised like these people. These people who needed the new birth, remember? They were men with high ecclesiastical positions. Men with high positions in the church, but they still needed this new birth. In other words, I'm trying to apply it quickly to our lives and to you, my friend. You could be a leader in a church. You could be someone who teaches Sunday school. You could be someone who preaches. And in this world where there are so many people who come with all sorts of ministries, all sorts of words, as it were, trying to preach people. But if they have those hearts, as it were, uncircumcised, they too need this particular new birth because they are just like Nicodemus and the fellow Pharisees. These people who needed the new birth were theological learned, but they lacked insight. Theologically speaking, they are correct, they will be correct, and so it is even in today's world. We have Pharisees, those who know what you shouldn't do because they've read it, yet they are far away from the grace of God. And as Christ calls them, and as Christ has seen them, they draw to Him with their mouths, but their hearts are far away from Him, as it were. In other words, these people, we can call them hypocrites, pretenders, as it were. Because their hearts still remain uncircumcised, although they try to be religious in every way. So, who needs this new birth? It is Nicodemus, with all his pedigree, with all his credentials, with all his privileges, with all his prestige, with all his status and name it, all that they can. Actually, we can attribute to his being, his name, as it were, he still needs this Christ. But I must bring it home. Who needs this rebirth? You and I need this rebirth. In other words, even what is written about the Pharisees in verse 7, where he talks about you and then plural, this is standing for the world, for each and every person who has been on this particular earth, who has entered this earth, that they need this renewal of the heart. We all need it, because the moral image of God was affected in the fall of the first Adam. Sin obliterated the divine holiness, and we became more human and less divine. The righteousness and holiness in which God originally created us gave place to the empire of sin, and now sin reigns in our hearts, and now sin has held us captive, and now sin controls us, and now sin has affected all our faculties, all our being, our reasoning, our relationships, our work, and everything. And this is what has happened. In other words, this is what we are saying. Because we come into this world without faith, because we come into this world without love, because we come into this world without the fear toward God, because we come into this world without a spiritual life, we need this new birth. This new birth, we need it. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, the psalmist says, and in sin my mother conceived me. How I love this particular verse, because it brushes aside all the arguments that you may have, my friend. Those who say that I am a Christian because I was born in a Christian family, because I was born maybe in a Christian or mission hospital, I was born, you know, in a Christian church, whatever, Christian nation, here we see in Psalm 51, plain and clear, you were conceived in iniquity. And therefore, as we said earlier on that the first birth ushers us into this world of sin. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12, it is indeed the testimony of God Himself. It is God who has seen. He has looked, and it is a God that we saw in the first place, and as we were considering the Lord Jesus Christ, having this insight, having this divine knowledge, having this supernatural knowledge, that even when God looks down, it is indeed the truth that He is seeing. We are sinners, therefore we need this new rebirth. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Isn't that true, beloved friend, about you and me? That we sin every day. That we sin most of the time. That sometimes we find ourselves committing sin. And it is because of what the Word of God is saying, that there is no one righteous. But, special mention to those who are not saved. This is their nature. They sin. They continue in their sin. Romans 3 verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. This means that even Nicodemus and his friends are sinners. Paul, who is a privileged man, preaches the truth. And he says, we are not better than any other man. And so this morning you could be saying to yourself, but I'm better than those Pharisees because I don't pretend. I'm better than those people because I don't cheat. I'm better than those people because I'm not corrupt. And this could be your advance or your defense, as it were. And this could be what you are saying, I'm not like them. But remember, Paul says, we are not any better than them. We are sinners, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Beloved friends, time is gone, but we must hurry on. You need to be saved. You need this rebirth. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about the most notorious brother that you have in the house. Don't think about the most notorious sister that you have. Don't think about your father who is probably unconverted and he is an adulterous man or a drunkard, or your mother. Don't think about your uncle who is practicing bad things out there. Think about yourself. You need this rebirth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number three. How does one receive a new birth? We must hurry on and say that one, we must understand that one receives this new birth by God's own will. Birth suggests to us that we can't give it to ourselves. Birth means someone giving birth to you, in this instance, this context. So it is by God's will that we are saved. To give life is the peculiar prerogative of God. The word birth here is also rendered begot, as we see even in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, the Lord is saying, I will give. I will take. We see, even in James chapter 1 verse 18, of His own will, He begat us with the word of truth. It is by God's will. And this is why the Lord is explaining to Nicodemus. It is not by the invention of man. It is by the will of God. We also see that it is by God's power. We see him explaining to him, or explaining to Nicodemus, as he says, the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And even as he talks about the wind, he is talking about the power. God regenerates our hearts by his power. Stubborn men who have always lived in sin, stubborn men who have persecuted the church, those who have embarked on killing Christians like Paul, those who vowed that I hate this God, I hate his people, those hearts have been changed before by the power of God. God's power is not limited to material and the physical. God has the power to change lives. We can buy so many things with the power that we have. We can buy so many things with whatever is in our hands, but we do not have the power to get this salvation. We must also see that it is by God's mysterious work. The fact that he's mentioning the wind, the fact that he's talking about you can't touch the wind, but you can see the effect. It is a mysterious thing. It is something that you cannot fully understand, but it exists. It is something that you cannot fully explain, but it exists, like he's saying. The wind still exists, and it has got an effect. You might be saying to yourself that, I can't do it, I cannot become a Christian, it doesn't make sense at all. And you are saying, I can't see God showing me physical, tangible things for me to use in order to become a Christian. But Christianity and the new birth still exists. It is a mysterious work of God. A work that we cannot control, a work that we cannot understand fully as it were. But we must hurry on and say that it is by drawing the sinner to himself. And this is how the new birth comes about. Remember, Nicodemus does not just come from without or from the blues. He comes because he saw the Lord performing miracles. He comes because he saw the Lord himself teaching, as it were. The words that he spoke are words that really were so amazing to him. And he says, no one can do these things unless he is from God. Nicodemus was drawn to the Lord by the word and the miracles. But we must also understand that this new birth comes about as one is convicted of their sins. It is by God's conviction of one's sin. The Holy Spirit himself convinces you or convicts you of your sin. He uplifts the veil that actually hides the heart. He shows the plague and the sin and the defilement in your heart. And this is what is happening to Nicodemus. He thinks he's a good man. He follows the law. He is perfect. But we see that the veil is actually removed. It is by God leading the soul to Christ through the word. That's how the new heart is given. We see here later on that we see that the serpent, we'll see that the Son of Man was lifted. We see that we have to look up to God in order to be converted. Romans 1:6, the apostle gloried in the gospel of Christ because it was the power of God unto salvation. Psalm 19 verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. John 6:63, the testimony of the Lord himself sets the question at rest. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. A man is converted, yes,
by the working of the Holy Spirit. But we must not forget that the Holy Spirit brings to bear or brings the Word of God to you, the things that you hear. And right now you could be hearing this Word and there is a conviction within your heart, or the Lord is speaking to you, and this is how the new birth comes about. How is your heart going to be regenerated? It is going to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, but you must hear the Word and you must be convicted of the sin. Regeneration happens by God's grace. Nicodemus didn't deserve it. But we must hurry on. Why is the new birth important? Just by way of mentioning, because it ushers us into the new state of existence. You can't call yourself a Christian. You can't call yourself a child of God, like in this context, without being given the new birth. Why is the new birth important? Because it brings about true holiness. There is no grain of holiness in our unrenewed and sanctified nature. Why is the new birth important? Because it is a prerequisite to enter in the kingdom of God. And here we see the Lord using the word unless or except a man is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is a solemn plea by the Lord Jesus Christ to him. He is going to perish, that is Nicodemus, if he does not become born again. Beloved friends, this is the most important thing that you can ever think about. Career is important, but it ends here on earth. Work is important, but it ends here on earth. All the things that you want to plan about, planning for in your life, they could be important, but they end here. And even Nicodemus, it is important for him to be born again because he will perish. It is important for him to become born again simply because it is only then that he is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had at the back of his mind, like every other Jew, that the kingdom of God, yes, is coming. And they know that a nation will probably be used to bring about this kingdom. And he knows that God will reign. But again, he's missed it. Therefore, he has to come to the Lord. We must conclude by applying the following. Nicodemus came to Jesus personally because he was prompted by the signs of the Lord. He felt concerned about his soul as a result of what he heard and saw the Lord doing. Beloved friend, this is how God works. For the new birth this morning, you are probably being reminded of God's work in other people, God's word preached to you. Will you be like Nicodemus, who will have a concern for their soul and come to him? Nicodemus knew about the kingdom of God. Could you be like Nicodemus, that this morning you understand and you know about the kingdom of God? And you believe, even as you are watching us right now, that one day you stand before the Lord in judgment. You believe that there's life beyond life here. There's life beyond the grave. You believe and you know it, but you are so careless in the sense that you do not address this matter of the new birth. You will not see the kingdom of God if you are not born again. You need to have this new birth. The Lord's reception of Nicodemus was in a gentle and loving way. And this is what we are saying. If you come to him in repentance this morning, the Lord will not cast you away. Indeed, he will treat you like the way he treated Nicodemus. He treated him in a loving way. He treated him in this caring way and a gentle way. Oh, soul, that soul which is weary, the soul that is wandering away, come to him this morning. He is willing to just cleanse you and make you whole. People don't enter the kingdom by living a better life, by observing the law. People enter the kingdom by being spiritually reborn. Are you a Christian? Have you experienced this new birth? How I pray that the Lord will speak to you, convict you of your sin, point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross for you, and that you believe on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you yield to your life to Him, and that you accept Him and have your life changed. May God speak to you. May God convict you of your sin. May you respond to Him this morning, knowing fully that without the new birth, you won't enter the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, salvation belongs to you. We thank you that once we are given the new birth, it is given to us for once and for all. That thereafter, it is ours to grow in grace, ours to embark on this journey of eternity to heaven. We pray this morning that you will quicken the dead. Pray that you give them no rest until they find that peace in you, O God. Pray that their hearts will be recreated. For no one can enter the kingdom of God with a corrupt heart. Sovereign Lord, we pray that your word will bring forth fruit in our lives. And to this effect, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, praying that you help us to reflect on these words. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us in this day, for enabling us to have this service virtually. Thank you for allowing us to reflect on your word as we sang hymns, read the scriptures, and as we sat under the teaching of your word. Eternal God, we pray that as we seek now to end the service and continue in the Sabbath, that Lord, you help us to honor this day and that you help us to keep it holy as it were. These things, eternal God, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.